Hello, and welcome back to my true crime podcast. I'm your host, Vanessa Pena, and this episode we're going to be talking about the Zodiac Killer. So you may have heard of him, as he is also one of the famous American serial killers out there who operated in like the 1900s. So before I get started, obviously I like to put warnings. So my warning for this is murder, which obviously could be true crime. That's all I know from now. Sorry if I didn't cover all the warnings or triggers. I tried my best to look up and make sure there was no more warnings. So let's get started. Okay. The Zodiac Killer went by the name Zodiac Killer or Zodiac. Or the Zodiac, who operated in Northern California from late 1960s to early 1970s. He was a pseudonym of a serial killer. The unidentified killer originated the name in a series of taunting letters and cards sent from the San Francisco Bay Area Press. These letters included four cryptographs or ciphers. The Zodiac murdered five known victims in Valencia, Viajeo, Napa County, and San Francisco, respectively, between December 1968 and October 1969. He targeted young couples, with two of the men surviving attempted murder. He also murdered a male cab driver. The Zodiac himself once claimed to have murdered 37 victims, and he has been linked to several other cold cases. The San Francisco Police Department, SFPD, marked the case inactive in April 2004, but reopened it at some point prior to March 2007. Now, to continue where I left off, sorry for that slight interruption. The San Francisco Police Department marked the case inactive in April 2004, but reopened it at some point prior to March 2007. The case also remains open to the city of Viajeo, as well as Napa County and Solana County. The California Department of Justice has maintained an open case file on the Zodiac murders since 1969. The Zodiac Killer has five confirmed dead murders, two injured, possibly 20 to 28 total dead, claimed to have killed 37. His span crimes were between 1960s to 1970s. The country he operated in was the United States, and the state was California, possibly also Nevada. Now let's talk about his confirmed murders. Although the Zodiac claimed to have committed 37 murders in letters to newspapers, investigators agree on only seven confirmed victims, two of whom survived. They are David Arthur Faraday, 17, and Betty Lou Jensen, 16. Shot and killed on December 20th, 1968, on Lake Herman Road, within the city limits of Valencia. Michael Reynolds Mega, 19, and Darlene Elizabeth Fern, 22, shot on July 4th, 1969, in the parking lot of a Blue Rock Spring Park in Viejo. While Michael survived the attack, Darlene was pronounced dead on arrival at Kesia Foundation Hospital. Sorry for pronouncing the names wrong. Brian Calvin Hurlill, 20, and Cecilia Ann Shepherd, 22, stabbed on September 27th, 1969, at Lake Berryessa in Napa County. Brian survived 8 stab wounds to the back, but Shepherd died as a result to her injuries on September 29th, 1969. Paul Lee Stein, 29, shot and killed on October 11th, 1969, in the Presidio Heights neighborhood in San Francisco. Okay, let's first talk about the Lake Herman Road murders. The first murders widely attributed to the Zodiac Killer were the shootings of a high school student, Betty Lou Jensen, and David Arthur Friday on December 20th, 1968, on Lake Herman Road. Sorry about that little break and that little interruption that we had. So, what was I? The Lake Herman Road murders. The first murders widely attributed to the Zodiac Killer were the shootings of high school students Betty Lou Jensen and David Arthur Friday on December 20th, 1968, on Lake Herman Road, just inside Vencia city limits. The couple were on the first date and planned to attend a Christmas concert at Hagen High School, about 3 blocks from Jensen's home. They instead visited a friend before stopping at the local restaurant and then driving out to Lake Herman Road. At about 10:15 p.m., Fede parked his mother's Rambler in the Gravel Turnout, which was as well-known Lover's Lane. Shortly after 11 p.m., their bodies were found by Stella Bergs, who lived nearby. The Solano County Sheriff Department investigated the crime, but no leads developed. Utilizing available forensic data, Robert Graysmith postulated the other car pulled into the turnout just prior to 11 p.m. and parked beside the couple. The killer may have then exited the second car and walked towards the Rambler, possibly ordering the couple out of it. It appeared that Jensen had exited the car first, but when Fede was halfway out, the killer shot him in the head. The killer then shot Jensen five times in the back as she fled. Her body was found 28 feet from the car. The killer then drove off. Okay, let's talk about the Blue Rock Spring murder. Just before midnight on July 4th, 1968, Darlene Fern and Michael Megge drove into the Blue Rock Springs Park in Viejo, 4 miles from the Lake Herman Road murder site, and parked. While the couple sat in Fern's car, a second car drove in a lot and parked alongside them, but almost immediately drove away, returning about 10 minutes later, the second car parked behind them. The driver of the second car then exited the vehicle, approaching the passenger side door of Fern's car, carrying a flashlight at a 9mm Luger. The killer directed the flashlight into Megal and Fern's eyes before shooting at them, firing 5 times. Both victims were hit, and several bullets had passed through Megal and into Fern. The killer walked away from the car, but upon hearing Megan moaning, returned and shot each victim twice before driving off. On July 5th, 1669, at 12:40 a.m., a man phoned the Viejo Police Department report and claimed responsibility for the attack. The caller also took credit for the murders of Jensen and Farday 6.5 months earlier. Police traced the call to the phone booth at the gas station at Springs Road and Toluno, located about 3/10 of a mile from Farday's home and only a few blocks from Viejo, the police department. Friend was pronounced dead at the hospital. Megan survived the attack despite being shot in the face, neck, and chest. Megan described the attacker as a 26-30-year-old, 195 to 200 pounds, or possibly even more. 5'8", white male with short, light brown, curly hair. Okay, we're going to talk about one more case before I finish this off. First, letters from the Zodiac. Well, not a case, but the letters that he sent. On August 1st, 1968, three letters prepared by the killer were received at the Viejo Times Herald, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the San Francisco Examiner. The nearly identical letters subsequently described by a psychiatrist to have been written by someone who would expect to be brought in and isolated, took credit for the shooting at Lake Herman Road and Blue Rock Springs. Each letter also included 1/3 of the 408 symbol cryptogram, which the killer claimed contained his identity. The killer demanded they be printed on each paper's front page, or he would curse around all weekend, killing lone people in the night, then move on and kill again, until it end up with a dozen people over the weekend. The Chronicle published its third of the psychogram of page 4 for the next day edition. An article printed alongside the code quoted Viejo Police Chief Jack E. Silt also as saying, "We're not satisfied with the letter was written by the murderer. I requested the writer send a second letter with more facts to prove his identity." Then the threatened murders did not happen, and all three reports were eventually published. On August 7, 1969, another letter was received at the San Francisco Examiner with the salutation, "Dear Editor from the Zodiac Speak." Dear Editor, this is the Zodiac speaking. This was the first time the killer had used the name for identification. The letter was a response to Chef Stilt's request for more details and would prove that he had killed Farday, Jensen, and Fern. In it, the Zodiac included details about the murders that had not been yet released to the public, and as well as a message to the police that when they cracked his code, they will have me. On August 8, 1968, Donald and Betty Herden of Salinas, California, cracked the 408 symbol cryptogram. It contained a misspelled message in which the killer seemed to reference the most dangerous game. The author also said that was collecting slaves for his afterlife. No name appears to be decoded text, and the killer said that he would not give away his identity because it would slow down and stop his slave collection. Thank you for listening into this week's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. Please excuse the mispronounced names and the interruptions. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and don't forget to drop back in next week. Bye!